Oh, let's be seated. Now, we just had the initial skirmish last night. What our theme is going to be this week is how to live in the authority and power of God's kingdom. How to exercise that authority and power in our own lives, over our circumstances, into the lives of others, and even into the nation around us. Now, before we can really embark upon this, it will be good to do a spiritual health check. It's always good to give yourself every now and again a spiritual health check. So let's just check up that everybody is in the right place spiritually, because otherwise you won't be able to exercise the authority and power of the kingdom in the way that God intends. So let's just quickly go through some well-established truths to make sure that we're all living in the good of them. Now, this isn't just head knowledge, but we are actually living in the good of what God has done for us in Christ. So, first of all, you have salvation. We'll try that once more. First of all, you have salvation.
Yes.
Now, what that actually means is that you have victory.
That's it.
Salvation equals victory. Why is that? Well, you have been saved from the power of sin. Now, in your spiritual checkup, you just ask yourself now, am I living as one who has been saved from the power of sin? Sin no longer has any dominion over me.
Amen.
You see, when you rule and reign, you are taking dominion, aren't you?
Yes, Lord.
So you must not be under the dominion of anything else, because you can't take dominion over the enemy if actually you have let sin have dominion over you. So you have been saved from the power of sin.
Come on. Yes.
You have therefore been forgiven. So that means at this moment in your life, there is no guilt.
Amen.
You don't feel guilty about anything. There is no shame. You don't feel ashamed about anything that is going on in your life. He has delivered you from all guilt and shame. Is this good or is this good? Also, there is no failure in your life. Why? Well, if you have failed in anything, you have asked God to forgive you, so the failure then no longer exists. So there is no guilt, there is no shame, there is no failure because of what God has done for you in giving you salvation. If any sin arises in your life, you only have to confess your sin, and he is faithful and just to forgive you your sin, to cleanse you from all what?
Unrighteousness.
So there is no unrighteousness in your life. There is no sin, there is no guilt, there is no shame, there is no failure.
Yes. Yes.
This is just your spiritual health check.
Awesome. Come on.
Yes. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
So there is no unrighteousness. Well, I didn't get much of a
Hallelujah.
Response. Well, try that once more. There is no unrighteousness.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's very, very important if you're going to understand kingdom dominion. Because immediately you're aware of any unrighteousness, you confess it and he cleanses you from all unrighteousness. This is your spiritual health check. Is that all right? So there is no condemnation for you. No condemnation whatsoever in your life. Because he has freed you from all guilt, all shame, all failure, all unrighteousness. So there's absolutely no condemnation for you. You're not sitting there feeling condemned this morning because of failure or past sins or anything else, because they're all cancelled out.
Awesome.
Is that all right?
Yes.
Amen. Is that good?
Yes.
That is good, isn't it? So there is no fear in you. That is in your spirit, because God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of right thinking. A right mindset.
Yes, yes, yes.
See, if you're going to exercise kingdom authority and power, you have to have a kingdom mindset. So all this other stuff that is the opposite of a kingdom mindset has to go. It's not part of your thinking. Everybody breathing.
Yes.
So not only are all those negatives dealt with, but of course you are in Christ. You are living and abiding in him. This is your spiritual health check. You're living and abiding in him.
Yes.
And Jesus says that means you're obeying his commands.
Amen.
So your spiritual health check is you are living in obedience to the Word of God. You are living in obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life.
Yes.
We've lost a few amens along the way now. We need to gather these up again. This is your spiritual health check. As far as you are concerned, there is no deliberate disobedience in any area of your life. No known disobedience. You are not knowingly disobeying the Lord in any area of your life. You see, why should other powers obey you if you're not obeying the one who is over you? So, in your spiritual health check, there's no known disobedience to the Lord. Inadvertently, you may... And God doesn't condemn you for that. But as far as you are aware, you are not deliberately, knowledgeably disobeying the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes,
dear. And we'll see how important this is to the exercise of authority in a moment.
Yep.
Right, so... Christ is in you. You are living with the knowledge of Christ in you. You have the fullness of life. Therefore, you are living in that fullness.
Hallelujah.
This is your spiritual health check, right? Daily, you are drawing upon that fullness. So daily you are receiving that which is your inheritance in Christ.
Yes.
Daily you are taking to yourself that life,
yes,
that fullness of life that is his gift to you.
Yes.
That's one of the reasons why you pray every day, that you may take hold of the life that is yours in Christ. We got amens going back to the fifth row so far. Okay. You have, therefore, the life and power and the fullness of God's Holy Spirit in you.
Yes.
And because of your obedience to the Lord, the Holy Spirit is allowed to have his way in your life. This is your spiritual health check.
Yes, Lord.
So there is no known way to you in which the Holy Spirit is being grieved in your life. As far as you know, there's no way in which you're grieving the Holy Spirit. This is your spiritual health check. Of course, if there was any way that you ever did grieve the Holy Spirit, you would immediately confess this as sin and be forgiven, and then that grievance would no longer be there. You wouldn't be beating and punishing yourself. You'd just rejoice in the mercy and the goodness of God. Hallelujah. You have the kingdom within you. Which means you have the full authority and power of God's rule and reign within you.
Hallelujah.
Because Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. So, in your spiritual health check, you can therefore rule and reign in life,
yes, yes,
as the word of God proclaims. That God has called you to rule and to reign.
Amen.
So you can do that because his kingdom is within you.
Yes, 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 yes.
This is your spiritual health check. You can just sort of tick these things off as we go down the list. Yeah, I'm living in that, I'm living in that, I'm living in that. Yes, praise God. Therefore, you are living by faith. You are trusting in God and in his word and in what he has done for you in Christ, rather than living on your emotions and feelings.
Hallelujah.
You are believing what he says over and above what you feel. Because you recognize that your feelings are the most unreliable part of your life. So your trust is not in your feelings, in your emotions, but your trust is in the Lord, in his word, in what he has accomplished for you in Christ. You are therefore living in love. In love for Jesus, you are obeying him. In love for others, because you know that whatever you do to anybody around you, you do to Jesus. So you're loving those people around you in just the way that you would treat Jesus. This is your spiritual health check. Mm-hmm. So, there's no negatives going on in you. There's no unforgiveness, no judgment, no bitterness, no resentment, no anger towards anybody else, because you've forgiven them.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you know that if you don't forgive them, if there's any bitterness, anger, resentment, within you, then that's because you haven't forgiven them, in which case the Father won't forgive you, in which case you can't rule and reign.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
So in your spiritual health check, you recognize how important it is for you to be at peace with others as well as at peace with God, so that nothing will hinder you from ruling and reigning in His name.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen.
That's it. That's right.
So you don't allow any of these negatives to build up in you. Are we at the same meeting here?
Yeah.
So you're walking in faith, you're walking in love, because you know the only thing that counts is faith working through love. You are therefore living, this is your spiritual health check, in the abundance of God's grace every day of your life.
Hallelujah.
In other words, you count on His grace.
Yes, 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 yes.
You don't look at situations and ask yourself, what do I deserve? Because the answer to that is always nothing. So you are living by God's grace.
Amen.
By His willingness to give freely and fully everything that He is and has, although you deserve nothing.
Yes.
So in your spiritual health check, you are living by the grace of God, because you understand that you are standing today in the grace of God.
Amen.
And that you're standing in His grace because of His grace.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's by His grace you stand in grace. How are you getting on with your spiritual health check? It's good, isn't it? Because all these things are true about you, you see. Aren't they?
Yeah.
See what a wonderfully healthy spiritual creature you are. So you're living in Christ. You are a co-heir with Him. Therefore, everything that He is and has is yours. And by faith, through His grace, you will lay hold. You are straining for that which lies ahead, because you want to take hold of everything for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of you. So you are constantly taking hold of what you have not previously taken hold of.
Yes, Lord. That's right.
So every day has something new in store for you, because every day you're going to take hold of something of Christ that you haven't previously taken hold of. And the Holy Spirit will give you revelation through the Word of God of that which He wants you to take hold of.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
This is your spiritual health check.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. My goodness me, hasn't He done a lot in you?
Yes.
Isn't it just as well that all this is true despite your feelings?
Yes.
Well, we could go on and on. We could continue this spiritual health check, but I think we've got the idea, haven't we? That every now and again we need to do this spiritual health check. Just make sure, not that we know this stuff, but we're living in the good of it. It is being expressed in our lives. Okay, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1. This is my spiritual health check. which I carry around in my Bible here. Would you like to hear this?
Yes.
Now you'll all start to ask for copies of it. It's called At One with the Lord. I am at one with the Word of God. I am at one with the light. I have become a child of the light and can walk in the light. I receive blessing upon blessing from the fullness of His grace. I will perform miraculous deeds in His name. I am at one with the one who gave Himself to the world, so I give my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Him. It will be plainly seen that the things I do are done through God. I will speak the words of God in the power of the Spirit, who He gives to me without limit. All His resources are placed in my hands. My work is His work. My food is His food, to do the Father's will and to finish His work. He will continue to work with me. I am able to live as a son of the Heavenly Father. I can do nothing by myself. I can do only what I see Him doing. He can impart His life to others through me. He will reveal His love to me and will show me what He is doing. I will judge no one, but will leave all judgment to Him. I will judge only as I hear from Him. I will not make decisions to please myself, but to please Him. He will bear witness to the fact that He has called me and that I speak and act in His name. It will be obvious to others that He has sent me to them in His name. He has placed His seal of approval on me. He Himself will feed me with the living bread from heaven and will use me to impart His life to the world. He will never drive me away. I will fulfill His will, His plan and destiny for my life. He will draw me closer and closer to Himself. I will see Him. I will share His life in every respect. I will give His teaching, not my own. I will live as a man of truth, seeking to glorify Him in all things. There will be nothing false about me. I will walk in the truth. I belong to Him. I am at one with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I will do nothing on my own in independence. What I hear from Him, I will tell the world. I will teach exactly what He gives me to teach. I will always do what pleases Him. I will tell of what I see in His presence. I will love Him. I will honor Him as my Father. I will keep His word and will never see death. I will glorify Him and He will glorify me. I will know Him and will keep His word. I will fulfill the work to which He calls me. I will feed His sheep. I will lay down my life for Him. I will do what Jesus did. He is in me and I am in Him. I will glorify His name. He will command me what to say and how to say it. He has made all His power available to me. He will be living in me, doing His work. I will bring glory to Him by the things I do. He makes His home with me. He will show me what must take place. I will do exactly what He commands me. He will love me with exactly the same love with which He loved Jesus. I will obey His commands and abide in His love. I will live as His friend. His Spirit will testify about Him through me. I will have the full measure of His joy in me. He will give me whatever I ask in His name. I will walk in faith. He will always be with me. I will exercise His authority. I have eternal life and He will raise me up. I will reveal Him to the world. Everything I have comes from Him. I will believe the words He speaks to me. All that He has is mine, and all that I have is His. I will be protected by the power of His name. I have unity with all who are one with Him. He has given me His glory. I will show His love to the world. He will continue to make Himself known to me. His love will be in me. And the discerning will realize that all that was from John's gospel. Surprise, surprise. So you see, all that is true for you too. But, I mean, you know, I don't sort of do a spiritual health check in the sense of ask myself all those questions. I just read that and think, and you just see one or two areas where there needs to be a little adjustment so that you can say, yes, yes. Amen. Amen. It's simply believing what God says about you. That's all it is. I didn't make any of that stuff up. It's not pretentious. It's not proud. It's just saying, well, I believe what the Word of God says about me and therefore what I can do. And if God can do that in me, he can do it in you. You say, oh, well, I mean, you know, you're an apostle and you're this and you're that and you're the other. Listen, I was once where you are. Amen? Why? Because we all grow in the knowledge and love of God and in the power of his grace and in the truth. So you need to take hold of these things and live in them. Anyway, as we were saying, that was just a little... Anybody want copies of that?
Yes.
£425 a time. Cheap at the price, did you say?
Bargain.
Yeah, bargain, yeah, right, okay. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. Now, what's the writer to Hebrews doing? He's going to talk about the authority and the power of Jesus. So what he's giving us is Jesus' health check. Who he is. And who he is in relation to the Father, so that the authority and the power of God can pour out of his life. So this is why we've had our spiritual health check. So let's just see what he says about Jesus. In these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Now, this is not just sort of haphazard truth about Jesus. The writer to the Hebrews is being inspired by the Holy Spirit and is being very focused. He is talking about the fact that Jesus Christ has been appointed the heir of all things. You are a co-heir with him. God has appointed you to be a co-heir, and therefore to do with him what he is able to do. Now, he is the radiance of God's glory. So, because you are one with him, somehow that glory is going to be revealed through your life. He is the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Now, he brought everything into being by his word when he created. That we know. But you see, the scripture says he sustains all things by his word. God could speak at any moment and the whole of creation could go into chaos. Actually, if God ever broke his word, all the order that is in the universe would break down. Because God's word would no longer be reliable. How do you know that the word of God is true and the promises are all true? Because you see order in creation. You see order in the universe. And you know that everything is being sustained by his powerful word. He is faithful to his word. He will not break his word, or everything would go into chaos because the devil would then be in control. So everything is sustained by his powerful word. Now he has given you that word. And the authority to speak that word, to use that word, to do that word. See, John says, let us not love in in word, but in deed and in truth. Why does he say that? Because we are called not to speak love, but to do love. Amen?
Yes.
Says, let us not love in word and speech, but in deed and truth. You know, all the words about I love you in the Lord, all that stuff. I mean, it's rhubarb. What matters is that you do love, because God will reward you according to what you've done. And the words don't bear fruit, but the deeds are the fruit. So it's okay to say that you love so long as that word is immediately followed by action or accompanied by action. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So Jesus has accomplished all that he was sent to do. He has finished his work in that sense. And so he's sitting down now in the majesty of heaven. You like to have a good sit down when you've finished your work, don't you?
Yes.
Put your feet up, veg out and watch a movie or something. Well, God doesn't put his feet up and watch a movie. He doesn't think any of them are worth watching. But instead of watching a movie, he sits down and reigns.
Yes, come on. Amen.
Awesome.
Which would seem to be much better than leaving your mobile phone on in the middle of a meeting, for which there is no condemnation, because the sin will never be repeated. Hallelujah. So he became, now look at this, he became much superior to the angels, as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Now, when he became man, he was made a little lower than the angels, because he couldn't be a man otherwise.
Yep.
Amen? But now he has been raised and is superior to all the angels.
Yep.
Well, now, if we are in him, we must understand that we as the sons of God have been called to reign and to rule, but the angels haven't. They're just messengers sent to help us. Are you there? But it's the sons of God that are commissioned by God to rule and to reign with Christ.
Amen.
For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have become your father? But you see, he said that to you. He said it of Jesus, but he said it of you. We are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Whenever you pray, say, Father. He doesn't speak to the angels like that. They're just ministering servants, ministering spirits. But he's spoken to you like that. He says, you're a son.
Yes, Lord.
You're made a little lower than the angels now. But, of course, you will judge angels, it says, when you're in heaven. But the point is that now you have to exercise the authority that God has given you as a child of God, as a son of God. And God will dispatch angels and all sorts to help you. But you've still got to do the ruling and reigning. Hello? Or again, I will be his father and he will be my son. And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. And speaking of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds, his servants flames of fire. But about the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. Right? His throne, the place where he rules, will last forever and ever. Okay, now, here is the key phrase we need to understand this morning. and righteousness will be the scepter of his kingdom.
Amen.
Or of your kingdom.
Yes,
righteousness is the scepter. Now, what is the scepter? The scepter is that rod that a monarch holds. It is the symbol of his authority. It denotes that he has the right to rule. So, in the olden days, when a king was victorious over people, when he'd conquered other tribes or whatever, the leaders of those tribes would come before the king, they would kneel before him, and he would hold out his scepter, and they would touch the scepter as a sign that they were now submitting to his rule, to his authority. You would not be sitting here in this building now if I had not done that. Because after we agreed to buy this place and we needed the Lord to supply the money, I've explained to some of you, I was having this prayer meeting in, I was just praying in my hotel room in Singapore. And I had this vision, this experience of the glory of God. But I probably haven't told you what actually happened. Because I saw him reigning in glory, and he held out his scepter to me. And he said, "Take hold of my scepter." And I reached out, literally, physically, I reached out to take hold of this scepter. And at that moment, he said, "Colin, I give you $1 million.
Wow.
And as you know, on the last day that it was possible for it to arrive, the $1 million arrived. And so we are sitting here in this place by the grace of God. But you see, there is a sense in which even this morning, Jesus is holding out his scepter. Because if we are going to move in the authority of God, we are to be submitted to his authority. When you take hold of that scepter, you are saying, "Jesus Christ, I acknowledge your rule and reign over me. I acknowledge your authority over me. You have the right to rule and reign over me, to do with me whatever you choose, whatever you please, and I willingly and lovingly submit to your rule and your reign." Now you see, during his humanity, Jesus had that kind of attitude towards his Father. That's why he said, "I have come not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." That's why he said, "I can do nothing of myself. I do only what I see my Father doing. I speak no words of my own, only what my only the words my Father gives me to speak." It's because of that heart submission to the authority of his Father. That gave him the ability to rule and reign.
Amen.
Now, what the writer is saying here, quoting, of course, the psalm, is that righteousness is the scepter. In other words, what God calls us to do is to establish righteousness wherever there is unrighteousness. Ruling and reigning is not getting what you want for yourself. That's a distortion. That some types of prosperity, wrong kind of prosperity teaching has brought into the body of Christ. We need to resist that wrong kind of prosperity. We are to prosper in the right way, in kingdom terms. But what we are called to do in extending the kingdom of God is what Jesus was doing. He was the righteous one who was coming to establish the kingdom of God in the midst of all the unrighteousness of the world. He came in order to actually take all the unrighteousness upon himself and to make it possible for us to continue to do what he began, to establish righteousness. Wherever there is something that is not right in God's eyes, to change that. Hallelujah. So that righteousness prevails.
Hallelujah.
Let me just give you one or two simple illustrations. Why does God want us to resist the devil? We're told to resist the devil, aren't we?
Yes.
But you see, before that, the Word of God says, submit yourself to God. If you like, take hold of his scepter.
Right.
Submit yourself to God. Then you can resist the devil, because everything the devil does is unrighteous. He is committed to sowing and establishing unrighteousness in the world, unrighteousness in the nations, unrighteousness in the hearts and lives of God's people. We are called to establish righteousness where there is unrighteousness. So, of course, we can only do that effectively if we're saying no to unrighteousness in our own lives. And that doesn't mean that we have to wait till we're walking in some kind of perfection. But it does mean that we are not knowingly and willingly living in disobedience, because that will undermine our authority. And it does mean that when we are conscious of any sin, guilt, failure, shame, we immediately get forgiveness from God so that he cleanses us from all unrighteousness and restores us to the place of righteousness that enables us to rule and reign by establishing righteousness where there is unrighteousness. So the first place that you begin to establish that righteousness is in your own heart and life. So every time you are seeking God's forgiveness, you are actually doing a kingdom activity. You are establishing righteousness, or restoring righteousness in your own heart and life. And then the Lord can rule and reign in you and through you, because he can't rule and reign in unrighteousness. And you see, the restoration of that righteousness is only a prayer away. You only have to say, Lord, forgive me, and he restores you to that place of righteousness so you can rule and reign. The trouble with sin is it undermines your confidence, even though he's forgiven you. But John says, if we have confidence before God, we know that we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. In other words, walking in righteousness gives you confidence. Yes, if we get things wrong, God will restore us to righteousness when we ask him to forgive us. But, you know, it's not a question of, well, it doesn't matter if I sin, because he will forgive me and restore me to my ability to reign. Because actually, when you constantly sin, it undermines your confidence. And if you don't have confidence, you won't exercise authority, you won't rule, and you won't reign in the way that God intends. You need to believe that you are able to rule and reign, because you can't do it if you don't believe you're able to do it. Are we getting this? So righteousness is the scepter of his kingdom. So righteousness is the key to your ability to rule and to reign. Why does God want you to heal the sick? Because it's not right in God's eyes that people should be sick. That's why he bore our infirmities and carried our sorrows.
Wow.
So what are you doing when you pray for somebody to be healed? You're actually bringing the life and power of the kingdom upon them. You're saying, I want kingdom rule, kingdom life, kingdom power to be expressed in this child of God. Or in this person. May not even be a child of God. But you see, that's a witness to the unbeliever that Christ is able to rule over sickness, therefore he can rule over anything else in their lives. So this is how we know that it's not God's will that sin should persist. God wants us to prosper, all right. We saw last night that those who have will have even more, and they will have an abundance. And Jesus talking about having the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God. But you see, moving in the power and the authority of God will give us that abundance. That gift of $1 million was an abundance. Enabled us to buy this place. Hello? You see, I was not seeking God for money. I have never sought God for money. Because there's nowhere in Scripture that tells you to seek God for money. Lots of places you're told to seek the Lord. So I was seeking the Lord. I wasn't seeking him for money. Hello? Okay, now, look at the next bit. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. How are we going to be able to exercise the reign of God in our lives? Well, we will love what he loves and hate what he hates. You see, when you hate what he hates, you can establish authority over it. Because you know you're exercising the will of God. So he hates all sin, doesn't he? All sin, even what we think of as those little failings. If it's sin, he hates it. So it has no part in our lives. Are we there?
Yes.
Or needs have no part in our life, should have no part in our life. We establish righteousness. Now, to establish righteousness, you see, is not just to say, well, I've been cleansed of all unrighteousness. That's dealing with the negative. But what we are called to do is to establish the positive,
yes,
where there is the negative. So we've got to love the positive as well as hate the negative.
Yes.
You see, what you love, you can establish. If you don't love the will of God, how are you going to establish the will of God where that will is not being executed? So the scripture says, I delight to do your will, O God. We can sing it. We can quote it. But what God intends is for us actually to delight in his will. What was the agony in the Garden of Gethsemane all about? It would not have been sufficient for Jesus just to go to the cross in obedience. He had to delight to go to the cross.
Wow. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
It couldn't be, oh, well, I suppose I'm going to have to go through this because it's the will of my Father. But for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. So whatever we delight in, we can establish. Mm-hmm. You loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions. Now, when you're set above, you're in the position where you can rule and reign. You have to be over what you rule and reign. That has to be under you in order for you to rule and reign. Now, the important thing for us to understand is that just as Jesus was set over everything during the days of his humanity, because he loved righteousness, loved to do the will of his Father, my food is to do the will of God and to finish his work, Jesus said. That's my food. That's what I live for. That's what I consume. That satisfies me.
Hallelujah.
That's what he's saying. And that delight in God's will set him above, put him in the place where he could rule and reign over whatever was not the will of God. I'm doing my best with them, Lord. Yeah. Can you see the significance of this? God is putting you in a position above whatever is not his will, so that through his righteousness, you can rule over what is not his will and establish righteousness where there is unrighteousness. Now, how did God actually set Jesus above all that he was to rule over? By anointing him with the oil of joy. You cannot rule over what you're complaining about.
That's true. Very good.
You cannot rule when you're moaning, groaning, grumbling, complaining, and being negative about your circumstances. You can't rule over them. If that's your attitude, those circumstances are ruling over you, and they are determining your mindset.
Yes, good. That's good. Yes, Lord.
So when Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, he knew precisely what he was thinking about. He says, if you don't rejoice always, you won't rule and reign always. You can only rule and reign while you're rejoicing.
Yes.
And that's not rolling about on the floor laughing, because let me tell you, you're probably not ruling or reigning over anything when you're doing that. But it's a question of being filled with the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Of choosing to rejoice in Him no matter what the circumstances. Because as soon as you begin to rejoice in Him, you begin to rule and reign over those adverse circumstances. When you become a pastor, those of you that will, you will discover that the people that take up all your time are the Saint Miserables who refuse to rejoice. They will tell you they can't, and they're lying through their teeth. It's just that they don't want to, and they choose not to.
Come on.
Preach it.
Amen.
They're so full of self-pity, so full of themselves, instead of getting their eyes on the Lord and rejoicing in Him, they'll just moan, groan, mumble, complain, look doleful and miserable.
Amen.
And still you have to love them. I believe in the cricket bat anointing.
Hallelujah.
But so far the Lord has never allowed me to flow in that anointing. So God has anointed you with the oil of joy. Because the Spirit is the Spirit of joy. And you see, this rejoicing in the Lord, giving thanks in all circumstances, is absolutely essential if you are to rule and reign. While you complain about your circumstances, you can't rule and reign. In that situation. So you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy.
Amen.
So now, because you are in Christ and Christ is in you, you can apply these words to yourself. I hate wickedness. I love righteousness. God has anointed me with the oil of joy to raise me above whatever is happening around me so that I can rule and reign. Is this good or is this good? So you see, it's not just a question of having the authority and having the power. I've explained to you often enough that in the New Testament, authority and power, exousia and dunamis, they belong together. It's not just a question of possessing that authority and power, but ensuring that the circumstances of our lives are such that they enable us to exercise that authority so we see the power. Now, the key to that is this scepter business. That we keep hold of that scepter. That we keep in that place, first of all, of humility before God. Why? Because He resists the proud, but He raises up the humble. What does he want to do? He wants to raise you up above your circumstances so you can rule and reign over those circumstances, over the demonic powers and so on. But he raises up the humble, and the humble, therefore, keep in that place of humility and submission to the Lord's authority. To put it very simply, they keep hold of the scepter. And you see, what you had to do was always to kneel before the king. When you did that, I was kneeling when I took hold of the scepter and God gave me that promise. Now, it doesn't mean that you just fall on your knees, you know, and that's the immediate sign that's what we're doing. Because we're talking about a heart thing, aren't we? But often body posture expresses what's going on in the heart. But what I'm concerned about, what I believe the Lord is concerned about, is this heart submission to his authority. So it's important that we live in his mercy every day, live in the cleansing of the sin, of guilt. There's no condemnation, no sense of failure. Why? Because we've prayed and God has forgiven whatever failure. When something is forgiven, it no longer exists. So the failure no longer exists, therefore I am not a failure. I may have failed, but I've been forgiven, but I'm not a failure. I am called, chosen by God to rule and reign in his name because he has made me part of his kingdom purposes here on earth. And he wants his kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. So because his will is always righteous, what we are doing when we exercise his authority and power is we are establishing righteousness, whereas unrighteousness, we are establishing the will of God on earth, where something was happening that was in opposition to the will of God. We're extending his rule and reign. Sometimes you hear people use this phrase, building the kingdom. You cannot build the kingdom. Jesus talked about building the church, but not building the kingdom. The kingdom is where he rules and reigns. You can only extend his rule and reign, not build it. You extend the influence of where he has authority, where he is able to establish his will in the hearts and lives of people. Now, of course, the more that his kingdom authority is established in the church, the more the church will be built. The more strategic, the more significant, the more impacting the church will be by being able to exercise the authority of God's kingdom over the kingdoms of this world. So you see, it's for this reason that God, in Scripture, must have a holy people. A people that are set apart for himself to do his will, to walk in righteousness, so that they can exercise kingdom, authority, and power over whatever exists around them, where there is not God's will, God's righteousness being manifested.
Yes.
So have we got this? This is, if you like, the basic kingdom message about ruling and reigning. Now we'll need to go on from there to see how to do this, how to affect it, what we can do, what is within the scope of the authority that God has given us. Amen. What actually we can't do, because sometimes Christians are very presumptuous. They think they can do certain things that God has not given them authority to do. But we need to understand what the full extent of this authority is and what the limitations of that authority are. And then we'll need to understand how we are to exercise that. But we can't exercise it if we don't have it. And if we're not in the place where it's possible for us to exercise it. So let's stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. This is what is often called Holy Week, where we think of all the events that led up to the cross, Good Friday, and the resurrection, and Easter Day. Who knows Easter Day is not about eggs and bunnies? But as we think of all the events of the Passion, why was Jesus doing all this? Not so we could go to heaven, but so we could rule and reign on the earth. So his kingdom would be established on the earth, would be extended on the earth in preparation for him to come again.
Hallelujah.
And before he comes again, that kingdom will be established amongst every people group. Every people group, there will be a viable manifestation of the kingdom of God. It won't just be that somebody has preached to that tribe or translated the scriptures into that language, but there will be a ruling and reigning people ready to receive Jesus back when he comes again. Hallelujah. Now you see, the scripture asks the question, when he comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find a people that are ruling and reigning and overcoming because they are exercising the authority and power of the kingdom? That's what that scripture is all about. It's not saying, you know, will there be believers? But will there be those who are actually a kingdom people ready to receive the king? A bride fit for the bridegroom. So all that Jesus went through during this passion, the cross, was all so that we could rule and reign on the earth and then enjoy his kingdom eternally. So let's first of all thank the Lord. I mean, as you stand there, just begin in your own words to thank him for what he suffered, what he endured for you in order to make it possible for you to rule and reign. Hallelujah. Then tell him that you don't want to waste anything that he accomplished through his sacrifice. You want to live in the full goodness, in the full revelation of what he accomplished. Taking all unrighteousness and wickedness upon himself and offering the righteous sacrifice to the Father that would make you righteous in God's sight. Come on, let's thank him for that. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Glory to your wonderful name, Lord. Glory to your wonderful name.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, in your spiritual health check, if there's any guilt, if there's any shame, if there's any sense of failure, just bring yourself to the Lord now. Ask for His forgiveness. If you've resisted the will of God in any part of your life, if there is any sense in which you believe you have been grieving the Holy Spirit, just bring all these things to the Lord now that you will be forgiven. And all unrighteousness cleansed out of your life this morning. If there are things that you need to be specific about, then be specific. Whatever it may be. Thank you, Lord.
I'll sing Lord, the Lamb of God.
Just let the Lamb of God wash you, cleanse you. The virtue of the blood that He shed for you, washing away that sense of failure. Don't listen to your feelings. Listen to the Word of God. Remember, the whole universe is sustained by His Word, not by your feelings. Hallelujah. If the universe was dependent upon your feelings, there would indeed be much to be concerned about. But praise the Lord, it is sustained by His Word. Praise God. And He, by His Word, is cleansing you from all unrighteousness. Everything that is not right. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now we're going to reach out and touch the scepter in a moment, but let's worship the Lamb first. We come humbly before Him. Hallelujah. We acknowledge that He has the right to rule and reign, that God has lifted Him up because He never sinned, because He offered the perfect sacrifice, because He accomplished the will of God perfectly. Let's worship Him. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold. These in white robes, who are they? And where did they come from? I answered, Sir, you know. And he said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will spread His tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. We have access to that throne, where the Lamb is ruling in glory and wisdom and honor and power and strength. We come before the King. In the Spirit, I see Him extending that scepter. Saying, take hold of it. For you owe your loyalty to me. It is I who rule and reign over you in righteousness and justice and peace. Why don't you reach out? Take hold of that scepter. Just sense the power of God surging through your life as you do so. Don't hold back because you think you're unworthy. He takes the initiative to hold out His scepter to you. And He says, this gives you the authority to rule and reign in my name. This gives you the authority to establish righteousness where there is unrighteousness, peace where there is strife, justice where there is injustice, truth where there is falsehood and deception. Love where there is bitterness and hate. Faith where there is unbelief and doubt. Healing where there is sickness. Deliverance where there is oppression. This releases into your life the anointing of the oil of joy that lifts you up, raises you above others, above your circumstances, above the things of the world, above the power of the enemy. The anointing that enables you to rejoice in the Lord always, to give thanks in all circumstances, because this is His will for you in Christ Jesus, so that you may rule and reign. Hallelujah. Just begin to rejoice in Him now. Praise Him now. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Purala maranama. Pura salamari. And righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom.
Amen.
You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Foratapakarasita. Baratapakarasita risatubukarasita. Baratapa karazato bukarasito risato. What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. Hallelujah. 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 Orata parazatu pakarasitu. Thank you that in Christ you have crowned us with glory and honor, Lord, and have put everything under our feet, because everything is under His feet, and we are able to rule and reign in righteousness, justice, and peace. And we praise you. We bless you. We glory in your wonderful name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just make these confessions of faith. In the name of Jesus, I have been given authority.
I have been given authority.
To rule and reign in life.
To rule and reign in life.
I am not under the dominion of the devil.
I am not under the dominion of the devil.
Of sin.
Of sin.
Of fear.
Of fear.
Of failure.
Of failure.
Or any negative emotion.
Or any negative emotion.
I am not under lies and deception.
I am not under lies and deception.
My life is now under the authority of Christ.
My life is now under the authority of Christ.
Of the truth of his word.
Of the truth of his word.
Of the authority of his kingdom.
Of the authority of his kingdom.
I am free.
I am free.
Because he has set me free.
Because he has set me free.
From the power of sin.
From the power of sin.
From all oppression.
From all oppression.
From all the power of the evil one.
From all the power of the evil one.
From any sense of failure.
From any sense of failure.
I am who God has made me.
I am who God has made me.
I am a child of the kingdom.
I am a child of the kingdom.
With his authority.
With his authority.
To rule and reign.
To rule and reign.
And by his grace.
By his grace.
I will exercise that authority. In my own life,
in my body,
in my mind,
in my
circumstances.
And he will use me
to extend his kingdom,
to further his will on the earth,
for the glory, honor, and praise of his name. Hallelujah! Yes! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And all God's people said,
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yes, come on, let's give the Lord.